Passion according to St. Luke.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ. Now the festival of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was near. And the chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death because they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And he went away and conferred with the chief priests and the elders of the temple police about how he might betray him over to them. They were very glad and agreed to pay him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him to them when no crowd was present. Then came the first day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be slain. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it." They asked, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" "Listen," he said, "when you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs already furnished. Make preparations for us there." So they went and found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you." He did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." Then they all began to ask one another who it was who could do this thing. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. Not so among you. Whoever would be greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who sits at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Simon, Satan has demanded that you all be sifted like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you return again, strengthen your brethren. But Peter said, "Lord, I am willing to go with you to prison and to death." He said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied 3 times that you know me." When I sent you out with no purse or bag or sandal, did you lack anything? They said, "No, not a thing." He said, "But now the one who has a purse must bring it, likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For this scripture must be fulfilled in me: and he was counted among the lawless. And see, what is written about me is being fulfilled. And they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. He said, it's enough. Then he got up and went out, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. When they reached the place, he said to them, pray that you may not come into the time of trial. And withdrawing himself about a stone's throw, he knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. But not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. In his anguish, he began to pray more earnestly until his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he got up from prayer, he went to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. He said to them, why are you sleeping? Pray that you may not come into the time of trial. While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd arrived, and Judas, one of the 12, was leading him. He approached Jesus in order to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, Judas, is it with a kiss that you betray the Son of Man? And those who were around Jesus, when they saw what was coming, they said, Lord, should we strike with the sword? And one of them took a sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this, and touched his ear and healed him. Then he said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple police and the elders who had come for him, do you come with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But now is your hour and the power of darkness. Then they seized Jesus, led him away, and took him to the house of the high priest. But Peter followed at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat together, Peter sat among them. A servant girl, on seeing him in the firelight, stared at him. She said, you also were with him. He said, denying it, woman, I do not know him. A little later, another, on seeing him, said, he is one of them. He said, man, I am not. About an hour later, yet another kept insisting, surely he was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. At that moment, while he was still speaking, cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord when he had said, before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now those who were holding Jesus began to mock him and to beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept saying to him, prophesy, who was it who struck you? And they kept heaping insults upon him. When daylight arrived, the whole assembly of the elders of the people, chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought Jesus before their council. They said to him, if you are the Messiah, tell us. He said, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. They asked him, are you then the Son of God? He replied, you say that I am. And they all said, what further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips. And they rose as a body and brought him off and presented him to Pilate. They accused him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and claiming that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Pilate looked at him and said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." Pilate said, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people with his teaching throughout Judea, from Galilee where he began, even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked if the man was a Galilean. When he heard that he was in Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw him, he was greatly pleased, because he had been wanting to see him for some time, because he had heard of him, and he was hoping that to see him perform some sign. He questioned Jesus at length, but Jesus gave no reply. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And even Herod, along with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then Herod put an elegant robe on Jesus and sent him back to Pilate. From that day, Herod and Pilate became friends with one another. Before that, they had been enemies. Then Pilate called together the chief priests and the elders and the people. And he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is perverting the nation, and here in your presence I have examined him, and I have not found him guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, because he sent him back to us. Indeed, this man has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will have him flogged and release him." But they said in a loud voice together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us." Now, this was a man who had been arrested and was thrown into jail for an insurrection that took place in the city and for murder. But Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, spoke to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found nothing to base a sentence of death upon him. Therefore, I will have him flogged and release him." But they kept on urgently insisting with loud shouts that he should be crucified. And their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man who was in prison for insurrection and for murder, and handed Jesus over as they wished. As they were leading him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the city, from the country. And they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. There was also a great many people who followed, including women who were beating their breasts and weeping for him. Jesus turned and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the womb that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" There were two others who were criminals who were led out to be crucified with Jesus. When they reached the place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there, along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine to drink and saying, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." And there was an inscription: "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there with him kept deriding him, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Have you no fear of God? For we are under the same sentence of condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, and we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now it was about noon, and darkness covered the whole land until 3 p.m, as the sun's light failed and the curtain in the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Surely this man was innocent." And all of the crowds that had gathered to see this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, they went home beating their breasts. But his acquaintances, including women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance and watched all these things. Now there was a man, a good and righteous man, named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, did not agree with their plan of action. He was from the town of Arimathea and was himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb in which no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who came from Galilee followed and saw where the tomb was and how his body was laid. Then they returned to prepare spices and ointments. And on the Sabbath day, they rested according to the command.